Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 11. We'll read through verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I want to talk about the sinner's destitution this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I plead again this morning for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, give us truth from the Word of God that will deal with our hearts. There's one here that's never truly been born again, church member, non-church member, whatever, moral or immoral. I pray today they come to the Son of God and receive the free gift of eternal life. Lord, we'll thank you as you deal with hearts today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You realize, of course, that all over the world, people do without. In America, of course, we're supposed to feel guilty that we have more than other people have. We're supposed to feel bad about that. We feel sorry for them. But the way is not to bring them up, but simply to take us down. Some do without the world because of circumstances. Some do without because of choice. For instance, there are people who decide not to have certain things in their home that other people have. They do without by choice. Some because of political ideals like socialism and communism. And it amazes me as an individual. Of course, I was born in America. I've been free all my life. It amazes me how enraptured people still are with socialism and communism after a century in which in the countries where they've been tried, it has been abject failures. Even you go back 30 years ago to, it's hard to believe it's been 30 years almost since Ronald Reagan was president of the United States. But he took a strong stand against communism, and somebody asked him the question about the U.S. matching Russia's record. And so he responded to that, how the U.S. could match Russia's record after it's more than half a century of socialism. And here's what he said. I just thought this was interesting. We'd have to cut our paychecks by more than 80%, move 33 million workers back to the farm, destroy 59 million television sets, tear up 14 of every 15 miles of highway, junk 19 of every 20 cars, tear up two-thirds of our railroad track, knock down 70% of our houses, rip out 9 of every 10 telephones, and then all we have to do is find a capitalist country to sell us wheat on credit to keep us from starving. How about that? He nailed it. Why on earth would I want to be like those folks? We have people in power today who push a socialist government, and yet socialism only keeps people without hope. They have no incentive to achieve, and one thing, and one more thing we will have to do without is freedom once it comes in. Now, I said all that to simply give you an idea. There are people around the world who do without all kinds of things. And sometimes it is because of the government that they have over them. And by the way, usually where socialism and communism come in, they are also under despots. That's usually the case. But some things, you realize, are not necessarily bad to do without. For instance, we go to the mission field and we have seen people do without an awful lot of things in their home. Now, there are other things, however, you do without and life becomes impossible. I'll give you a couple of absurd examples. You can do without money. You may not want to, but you can do without money. But you cannot do without oxygen. Isn't that right? You can do without a PlayStation 2 or a Wii or a PlayStation 3. I know that'd be difficult for some of you to make it through the day. But you cannot do without water. You've got to have water. I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I got to thinking about all the withouts that a sinner does without. And when I was lost for the first 21 years of my life. These were things that I had to do without. Now, I don't want to return to those days. Thank God I can't. Hallelujah. Amen. But you look in verse 12, and he says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. If you've never been born again, you are without some things. And you may not understand how important those things are right now, but unfortunately, you probably will at the very wrong time. For the Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Number one, if you've never been born again, and Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, then you are without God. Look at that verse again in verse 12. He says in the latter part of it, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You wonder, why is everything in our country upside down today? For instance, there are multitudes of people that think it's wrong to put a murderer to death, but think it's perfectly normal and natural to murder a baby as long as it's inside the womb. Take an innocent baby, it's all right to put the baby to death, but you've got to keep the murderers alive. That doesn't even make a big bit of sense. And yet that's exactly where we've come to in our nation. Why do they think like that? They think like that because they are without God. They are without knowledge of the true God. And when a person is without God, then they are left to their own devices. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. No wonder the scripture says, it is a fool that trusteth in his own heart. He's without God. Number two, he's without Christ. You see, you may ask, why are they without God? And the answer is because they are without Christ. Go back to the verse. Look at the latter part of it. At the first part, he says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't have the Jesus of this Bible as your Savior, you are without God. Jesus Christ said that in John chapter 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's amazing the number of chaplains in the military that are told they cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ when they come to a public gathering. It's amazing how many city governments and even national governments, when they have some special get-together and they invite somebody to give the benediction, they say you can pray, but you can't pray in Jesus' name. My Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. There's one mediator between God and men. That's Jesus Christ. And there is no way to the Father unless you come through Jesus. Peter was preaching in Acts 4:12 and he said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now I know the world doesn't like that. They don't want you to know the true God. Because when you know the true God, see, true Christians are so narrow-minded. They believe there is only one way to heaven. And they believe that because that's what Jesus said. There's only one way to heaven. And not only did Jesus say it, Peter said it, John taught it when he said, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Whether or not you're going to heaven has nothing to do with whether you're called a Baptist or whatever. It has everything to do with whether or not you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's it. You see, people are without God because they are without Christ. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. In 1 John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. You see, it has nothing to do with how much money you make, has nothing to do with what language you speak, has nothing to do with what country you're from, has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. That's it. He's the only way, no other way. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't know anybody hadn't at least told one untruth in their life. I mean, good night. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Well, how are you going to escape it? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He'll save you. He'll give you eternal life. And because they are without God, because they are without Christ, they are without hope, according to this verse. Because there is no other way to heaven but in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now imagine what it would be like to have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. To go in, have the doctor give you an examination, run a bunch of tests. He comes in, he says, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to be dead within 3 weeks. You're dying, there's not a thing in the world we can do for you. You can go ahead and go to 100 other doctors, I'll be glad to give you the names. You can go to doctors, I'll even get the appointment for you, but I can guarantee you there's not a thing in the world they can do with you. You're going to be dead within 3 weeks. Now, we'll be glad to take your money, we'll be glad to run a whole lot more tests, we'll be glad to pump you full of all kinds of medicines. But I'm going to tell you, no one's ever lived with what you've got. You're going to be dead within 3 weeks. Now, can you imagine hearing that, walking out of that doctor's office? I imagine at first, you'd be downcast. And then you'd be angry. And then you start thinking, well, I'll just show him, and you start calling people. You'd start calling doctors. You'd call friends who maybe know of some alternative form of medication. You'd be doing it because you just feel like you got to have some hope. There's got to be some way. Well, dear friend, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, you have no hope. You are without God. Now, you can make up your own God, but that is a pretend God. Some of you, you have children. Your kids have had pretend friends. As a kid, I grew up playing Cowboys and Indians. Today, they play Cowboys and Muslims. Amen. But anyway, it was Cowboys and Indians. And even if I didn't have any... I'm sorry, that thought just came to me. I don't know why. Just one of those things. But even if I didn't have any friends to play with, I always had a sidekick. And man, we always won. We never lost. But he wasn't real. My friends, they weren't real. We won everything. But even the enemy wasn't real. Nothing was real. It was all made up in my mind. And there are a lot of people who have a God like that. They have a God that they've made up in their mind. They have a God who will not judge them. They have a God who is not holy. They have a God who is not eternal. They have a God who isn't powerful enough to give them His Word. They have a God who isn't powerful enough to create all that is and set up some rules and boundaries according to His holiness. They have a God who is no God at all. Sometimes they make idols to Him. It might be in the shape of a fat Buddha. It might be some rock in the Muslim world. It might be something else. But they have a God who is no God. A God they'll never stand before. There is a God. And there is one God and no other. Scripture tells us there are other people who have gods, who have hands that feel not, and eyes that see not, ears that hear not. And they're like that because they aren't gods at all. They're just made up in the imagination of their own mind. Because of that, they are without hope. Mankind thinks he can solve his own problems. We just get enough education. Yeah, we're so educated today, we go absolutely berserk when we hear about one case of the swine flu in the entire state of Alabama. Matter of fact, we don't even know whether or not it'll hurt any of us. We're just scared because they told us to be scared. That's how educated we are. We have lost the power and the ability to think. Man, I tell you, I'm just not going to trust man. So you see, people, because they don't know God, they're without hope. They're without hope socially. I read a thing about George Orwell's 1984. Seems kind of silly now, doesn't it? 1984, he was just a few years off. We're coming to that point, by the way, with his 1984. And if you ever read the book, it ends surprisingly pessimistically where evil conquers. And some have suggested that pessimism came because of Orwell was dying. He wrote it. Actually, he was merely expressing a dilemma that he had seen for some time. He knew that man's central problem was the death of the Christian belief. And here's what he wrote in 1944. He said, since about 1930, the world has given no reason for optimism whatever. Well, what happened in the 30s and the 40s? You had a depression, and you had a world war, where millions of people were killed. And he said, nothing is in sight except a welter of lies, hatred, cruelty, and ignorance. And beyond our present trouble looms vaster ones, which are only now entering into the European consciousness. It is quite possible that man's major problem will never be solved. The real problem is how to restore the religious attitude while accepting death as final. Men can be happy only when they do not assume that the object of life is happiness. By the way, the object of life is not happiness. The object of life is to glorify God. And if you miss that, then you miss life. You're going to search around for happiness to try to find the things that will make you happy, and you'll find it's all going to be fleeting. How many young ladies have married their Prince Charming with no thought for thus saith the Lord? With no thought for what they ought to choose or how they ought to date or who they ought to marry, only to find themselves living in a literal hell on earth within months after saying I do. And yet he was the one because I was so much in love. You throw God out of it and see how long it lasts. Brother, you do it without God, you are headed for trouble. No hope. And yet after all these years, even though Scripture warns us, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man still wants to seek his own way. The Bible says this is the way. Walk ye in it. But worse than that, they're without hope spiritually. It's interesting that some people see education as the anchor of civilization, but it was the best educated nation on earth that gave us the Nazis. Education isn't the way. Because education doesn't deal with man's greatest problem. Man's greatest problem is not a lack of technology or ignorance. Man's greatest problem is the sin problem. And God has the answer for that in the Word of God. Some see health as the very anchor of life, but much of the work in the world is being done by people who don't feel like doing it. Some see stability and wealth. It's their anchor. And they may have an experience similar to that of the ship Marine Electric, which sank off the coast of Virginia in 1983, costing the lives of 31 sailors. The reason was this. The ship's 8-ton anchor came loose and battered the hull of the ship until it sank. That anchor which they counted on for safety is the very thing that destroyed them. And of course, after what we've already been through and what we're headed for financially, if your anchor's in the money market, if your anchor's in your retirement, then you may find yourself suddenly without anything. But when your anchor's in God, I know they tried to kill him. They tried to say he's dead or he's asleep, and he is neither. He's wide awake. And I talked to him this morning, thank the Lord. Our hope is in Christ. He is the only unfailing anchor of the soul. And ever since Jesus ascended up into heaven, we've been looking for his return. Ever since the angels told the disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And the scripture says in Titus 2:13 of the church, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, he is coming back. Thank God, every wrong will be righted. And one day, he will rule with a rod of iron. So without God, without Christ, without hope, and without strength. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, for when you were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. No man has the strength to save himself. Can't do it. First of all, your good works can't get you to heaven. And even if you could do a mountain of them, they'd never be enough. You have to go to Jesus Christ, the only one who fulfilled the Scripture. Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In Romans 8:8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There is absolutely nothing that any of us can do to be good enough to get us to heaven. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. We all have earned the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. But thank God, Jesus Christ came to this earth, obeyed God in every way and in everything, never one time committing a sin, either a thought, word, deed, action, whatever. Perfect. The sinless Son of God, so that He could be the sacrifice for our sin. Here we were without strength, and He's the strength that we needed. That's why when the Ethiopian eunuch, when asked if he understood the Scripture, he said, "Well, how can I except some man show me?" We're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because that's our job. They're not going to get saved if we don't take the gospel to them. The world is without strength. Wow, we got the church sitting right here on top of the hill. Everybody can see it when they drive by. But I don't find anywhere where God commands the lost to go to church. He does command the church to go to the lost. Because they are without strength. And we're to take the Word of God and show them. There are sick people in the hospital who have the possibility of getting well, but they can never do it on their own. They need somebody to do some things for them that they cannot do. They need someone to feed them. They need someone to give them medicine. They are without strength. The lost are without strength. Strength to save themselves. Without strength to even come to God. We are responsible to take the gospel to them. But get this. Not only are the lost without all these things, they're also without excuse. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want you to notice verse 19. He says, "For that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Now verse 20. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." He tells us that even creation teaches us that there must be a God. I mean, you look at creation, man. You look at all this. There is such order in creation. The disorder that's usually there is caused by man. But there is order in creation. If not, this world keeps going around the same sun. Keeps going around at a certain speed, giving us seasons. And we even name the seasons. That's how organized it is. But that's just the earth and the sun. When you think of the so-called millions of stars that are out there that God created, what on earth holds it together? He does. You look at the human body. The very fact that it continues to function. This body, 59 years old, has been cut a number of times. I got scars on my hands. I got scars on my knees. I got scars on my arms, my elbows. I've got a few scars in my head. And most of you do too. You know what's amazing? It healed. Each time, it healed. Wow. How did it do that? How did it know to heal right there and right then? God. God did an amazing thing when He put this thing together. It's funny, this right here is just a little bitty clock. There's not much to it. And yet if I start telling you about how, a few billion years ago, the rocks in terrible electric storms began to fuse together and then more electric storms knocked off certain parts of it. And one day after a few billion years, it was a sundial first, you understand, that later became one of these things. It was zapped by lightning and it started working. Just by chance. This is a product of evolution. You say, "That's crazy, preacher." I mean, it says Rock of Ages here, Ministries. You tell me that? Sure. Don't you believe that some electrical storm could be strong enough to etch those words in there? Don't you believe that? I mean, over millions of years. Obviously, it didn't do it all in one strike. Had to be struck several times. Gave us an R, give us an O, give us a C, gave us a K. Over millions of years. Say, "That is so stupid." Yeah, but that's what they teach your kids in school. And expect them to believe it. And expect you to keep paying their salary so they can keep teaching your kids garbage like that. Tell you what, Nazism came out of that kind of teaching. Communism came out of that kind of teaching. That's where the despots come from. that have no regard for human life, because you're just another living organism on planet Earth, and we can kill a few billion of them and make more room for the rest of us. What does it matter? Because you live, you die, that's it. There is no rhyme or reason to life. That's the outcome of evolution. So when they take over in China, they can kill 40 million of their own people. That's what happened when Mao Zedong took over. When the communists took over in Russia, they can kill several million of their people. It didn't matter to them because life's just chance anyway. It is survival of the fittest, and we're the fittest. Stupidity. You see the intricacy of it all. There must be a God. For there must be a designer to see such tremendous design. Well, of course, we could look at that beautiful picture. It's out there in the foyer. And I could tell you how over millions of years that thing just took shape. You say, no, there must be an artist. All that beauty. Yeah. That's just reasonable, isn't it? He says, you look at creation. Any man that doesn't come to the conclusion there must be a God, he's without excuse. For there is a God. And there is a God who created it all. And by the way, if he's powerful enough to create it all, don't you think that he is powerful enough to give us His Word to tell us about it? You say, well, I don't know why He'd want to. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why He'd want to either. But He did. He wanted to enough to give us His Word. True from beginning to end. He was there. He knows something more than some guy who went to college who was told that we all came from a big explosion. That's silly. When did you ever see an explosion bring life to anything? Ever! And yet you think that Big Bang brought all that we see today? Come on! When did you ever see order come out of the disorder of an explosion? An explosion takes orderly things and makes them disorderly, and yet they tell us the bang was big enough to do that. He says, without excuse. So you look at all that is, there must be a true God. Is there a way we can know Him? Yes, He's provided the way. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. No, there must be another way. If there was, He would have told us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Again, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You look at all that He's done for you in taking your place on the cross of Calvary. And He says, all you need to do is recognize your sinfulness, your wickedness, and turn to the Son of God who died for your sins at Calvary, was buried and rose 3 days later from the dead, and put your trust in Him alone, and He will save you. Why would you reject Him? Why would you stay without Him? And then when you look at the tremendous results of those who do, those who come to Jesus Christ, my, the harlots that have been made pure. The drunkards that have been made sober. The wife beaters that have been made good husbands when they've come to Christ. He changes lives. And He always changes them for the better. He says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, He says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Many, many years ago, back in D.L. Moody's day in the late 1800s, he had those big citywide meetings. I mean, there'd be 5,000 people there, 10,000 he'd be preaching to. And one time there was a young boy that was brought up to the platform. He had gotten separated from his dad in the crowd. I don't know if his dad had gotten to talk to some people and he just forgot to pay attention to his boy. But the boy was brought up to the platform and he'd just been walking around having a good time, you know, like kids do. But Moody told the crowd, he said, I want you to look at this lost child. He said, I'll guarantee you right now that the father out there is more anxious to find this child than that child is to be found. He's been enjoying himself. And about that time, a man raised his hand and said, "It's me." And that man, his face had turned white from the fear of losing his child among that crowd, came running up to the front to get his child. Dear friend, if you've never been born again, I got news for you. God's been looking for you and not more concerned about you than you've been concerned about finding Him. And all you have to do is come to Him through Jesus Christ, and He will give you eternal life. What a great God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, as a lost person, I was lost for the first 21 years of my life. Granted, I didn't know all the things I did without. I didn't know I was without God. I thought one day I'd stand before God, He'd put my good works on one side, the bad on the other, good would outweigh the bad, God let me into heaven. It wasn't going to work like that at all. It doesn't work like that for anybody. I found out, no, I was lost. I was without God. And I was without God because I was without Christ. He was my only hope. I would have died thinking I was going to heaven when I wasn't. I was going to hell. Oh, but when I came to that realization and came to Christ, thank God I'm not without God, for I have Christ. And even though I was without strength, He dealt with my heart through the Word of God and brought me to the Savior. And whereas I truly was without a real hope, thank God when He saved me. The hope that I have in Christ Jesus, eternal life with Him. A place of no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. A place that's perfect. A place where there aren't going to be any thieves to break through and steal. You're not going to have to worry about a gunman out of the night. You're not going to have to worry about the tragedy of getting that phone call and a loved one dying in a car accident or hit by a drunk. No, a perfect place that He's provided for us. And here's what He said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The One who's the way, the truth, and the life has told us you can count on it. If it was different, I would have told you. But it's not different. It's just like God has promised. So the question is, friend, do you know Him today as your Savior? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I love You today. Thank You for the great salvation that You gave me. Thank You for the eternal life that is mine. Dear God, deal with our hearts, I pray, this morning. There's one here without Christ, without God, without hope. God, I pray today they'd come to Jesus and be saved. May they realize the truth of the words of the Son of God when He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I pray they'd come to Jesus today. Have Your way now in every life, for we ask it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed.